Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, music for cats, housebreaking your puppy, and fun facts about our pets. In a previous episode, I read an article about the MP3 project that works to make classical music available to be played in dog shelters to calm and soothe them while they wait to be adopted. And I mentioned that music had recently been composed specifically to appeal to cats. Now, from Time at Time.com, written by Kate Samuelson, meet the man who makes music for cats. Cellist and musician David Taya, a soloist with America's National Symphony Orchestra, has created the first ever album specifically for cats to listen to. Time spoke to him about music for cats and whether it actually works. Time asks, "What made you decide to make music that isn't for humans?" And Taya responds, "It first started when I was doing a concert with Metallica. There was a very strong emotional sense to the music, which didn't seem to exist in nature, and that struck me. Later, I was putting together a lecture series on performing music in a way that can help people understand its structure, and I realized how much music is built for the human scale. I started questioning things like, why doesn't a song last for a tenth of a second? Or 10,000 years? The answer is because it's made for humans, by humans, and for our time scale and the frequencies we hear, in the same way that we don't paint in colors we can't see. That made me decide to examine each layer of music, to question each element of it, and think about why each one affects human emotions. And then I decided I would try and make music not for humans, by replacing some of the layers for humans with layers for animals instead. If I had to choose the 15 greatest experiences of my life, I'm sure half would be in music, and it's also such a wonderful communicative tool. People love their pets and consider them to be members of their family. So the idea is that this album can be a form of enrichment for cats as well as helping them communicate. Why cats? I first tested my theory on capuchin monkeys. I wrote music for them, and researchers at the University of Wisconsin tried it out. It proved successful, so I decided to write for some of the animals that are most commonly around us. I decided to do cats because they are very consistent across the breeds. If you write for one, it will hopefully get through to the others. What layers were used for the cat music? One of the things I thought about was how at birth, cats' brains are only 1/8 of the size they will be at 10 weeks. Most of their brain development happens outside the womb, so I figured that a reward-related sound that all cats would have heard as their brains developed would work. I managed to create a sort of shoop-shoop swishing sound representing the suckling for milk that they would have experienced at a very young age. I also looked into recreating a purring sound. Like humans, cats purr when they are content and also when they are in pain, but not when they are by themselves. So it's a sympathetic communication. I used instruments which made a purr-like sound, intended to communicate the same kind of sense of sympathetic understanding. And Time asked, did you use other musicians for the album? Taya responds, the album is 80% me, but a couple of other players also contributed to it. They've mainly done the part of the music that's designed for humans. I decided to make my music work for both humans and cats, as one of the main bits of feedback I received after my monkey music was that the people who did the research found it really irritating. So using the bass clef, which registers too low for cats to hear, I've put another layer under the music specifically for humans. And what has the reaction been from the cats? There was a testing of the cat music in Wisconsin, which went well. The researchers said the cats would nuzzle up to the speaker, showing marking and ownership, as well as curl up nearby and purr. Apparently, the majority of them responded favorably. They enjoyed the music and were calmed by it. One of the cats we used in our Kickstarter campaign was a famous cat called Cole, one half of the internet sensation that is Cole and Marmalade. Cole didn't take any interest in the music at first, but later on became quite a big fan. I like the idea that it can be an acquired taste and can grow on cats. So what's next? I'm hoping that one day there will be a streaming version of the album available so pet owners can leave it on when they're away from home to make their cat feel calm. Eventually, I'd like to bring a species-specific music project to captive species, as we reduce the number of species in the world by kind of ransacking the place, more and more of them have to be kept in captive situations, such as concrete square rooms in zoos. One of my long-term goals is to bring enrichment to a variety of mammals that are in captive situations. The album is made up of 5 songs, and we funded it on Kickstarter, which worked out very well. Universal Records put it out Thursday morning, and this article was written October 20th, 2016. And they're optimistic it will remain on the top of the charts for a while. I'm very happy to say that it looks like Music for Cats will be the first album in the top 40 that wasn't made for humans. And you can find out more about Taya's work and listen to a sample of his music for cats at musicforcats.com. From the PurringtonPost.com, Cats and Hygge. As we said farewell to 2016 and now look ahead at the possibilities for this year, we begin to ponder the question. With the chaotic and hectic schedules that so many of us struggle with, how can we reignite a sense of comfort and enjoyment into our lives? So we stayed up all night long thinking and waiting for the sun to rise, and then it dawned on us. The Danish figured it out ages ago, so why not take a cue from them? There's a word in Danish called hygge, which is best described as a feeling or mood that comes from taking genuine pleasure in making ordinary everyday moments more meaningful, beautiful, or special. Hygge is not easy to translate, but the Danish to English dictionary describes it as coziness, comfortable, cheerful, a pleasant time. Another describes it as the art of building sanctuary and community, of inviting closeness and paying attention to what makes us feel open-hearted and alive, to create well-being, connection, and warmth, a feeling of belonging to the moment, to each other, and celebrating the everyday. Hygge is so much more and always involves creating a nice, warm atmosphere. It's about enjoying the good things in life with friends and family around you. And how could a true hygge lifestyle be complete without our beloved feline friends? In fact, we think that cats invented hygge. Whether it's playing with our kitty, making coffee, and then lingering over a cup, to a cozy evening in with friends, or the simple act of lighting a candle with every meal, hygge is about being present and appreciating life's good moments. By creating simple rituals without effort, such as brewing real tea with a little china cup every evening or stopping at the flower shop every week, the Danes see both the domestic and personal life as an art form and not every drudgery to get away from. They incorporate hygge into their daily life so it becomes a natural extension rather than a forced and stressful event. We came across a clever infographic from a UK-based company called Harvey. They make water softeners. They created a series of articles entitled The Great British Hygge, in which they celebrate the pets that bring happiness, love, and comfort into our homes, all essential parts of a British hygge. According to the Harvey Water Softeners website, the ingredients of a British hygge are 6 key elements. First, Great British Hygge recipes. 2, quality time with friends and family. 3, me time. That means taking some time out from the hustle and bustle of daily life and all the things that put pressures on our time and doing something that helps us reconnect with ourselves. 4, create the perfect hygge home ambiance. 5, the British brew, a good cup of tea. And 6, snuggle up for some pet pamper time. Harvey says, we Brits love our pets. When it comes to relaxation, what could be more satisfying than sitting down with a cat on your lap to stroke and a good book to read? We say, let's extend the hygge philosophy across the planet and learn from our cats, the true masters of hygge, to appreciate the simple pleasures of life. May your year be filled with happiness, hope, and hygge. From our friends at Monroe Veterinary Associates, housebreaking your new puppy. Follow these guidelines to make housebreaking as easy as possible. Start housebreaking at 7 to 8 weeks of age. It's not too late. If the puppy is older, the training may just take longer. Take him or her outside to eliminate 6 to 8 times a day. It may take 15 to 20 minutes for your puppy to finish eliminating. Be sure to stay with him or her the entire time and don't play until afterwards. Stick to a schedule. Take your puppy out immediately after waking up, after play sessions, and 15 to 30 minutes after meals. Use a key phrase when you take your puppy out to eliminate. Repeating this phrase lets the puppy know that it's time to get to business. Immediately give him or her a reward after eliminating outdoors. Timing is key. If you wait until you return to the house, the puppy will associate being rewarded with coming inside, not doing his business. Don't punish. If your puppy has an accident, don't rub his or her nose in it. Instead, try and catch the puppy in the act. If you see the puppy preparing or in the process of eliminating, startle the puppy by stomping your foot and yelling, "Outside!" Your puppy will likely stop long enough for you to take him or her outside. Supervise indoors and outdoors. Keep an eye on your puppy as much as possible so you can catch them in the act if they try to eliminate inside. Remember, puppies don't have large bladder or bowel capacities. Try to take your puppy out every 4 hours. If you can't supervise your puppy all day, ask your veterinarian about crate training or puppy daycare. Your veterinarian can recommend a cleaning product that removes both odors and stains. And don't leave food out all day. Feed your puppy at specific times. This will help create a schedule for your puppy to eliminate. And stick with it. Don't be discouraged if it takes some time. Most puppies are housebroken by the time they're 14 to 20 weeks old. If your puppy is taking longer and you feel that he or she should have already stopped eliminating indoors, consult your veterinarian for additional help and recommendations. Also from Monroe Veterinary Associates, Dr. Nicholas Delahanty says, we want your blood. Why your pet's blood speaks volumes. As pet owners, we all have different ways of communicating with our furry family members. A sniff, whine, purr, or even a simple look can start a whole conversation with your pet. But when was the last time you heard a meow or a bark and understood it to mean, hey man, I'm really not feeling well? Could be that weird bug I ate last night, or it might be something else. Maybe you should take me to the veterinarian. We know when our pets are excited, hungry, or even scared, but it takes careful observation to know when your pet is exhibiting signs of an illness. This is why blood tests are so important. Blood tests can tell your veterinarian that something is wrong even when your pet's behavior hasn't changed. When is blood work necessary? Blood work is routinely done in several situations, including a preventative care screening, pre-anesthetic testing, in an emergency or when monitoring a medication. Preventative care screenings are typically done annually and may uncover disease before it becomes a significant health issue down the road. Catching disease early can help you avoid significant medical expenses and increase your pet's chance of recovery. Blood work is also done prior to any procedures that require anesthesia. This tells your veterinarian if your pet is healthy enough to undergo anesthesia and provides vital information concerning the function of your pet's organ systems. If the test results are abnormal, your veterinarian may need to change the type of drugs used for anesthesia. Blood work not only indicates if your pet will react well to anesthesia, it can also show how other drugs affect your pet's system. Sometimes the medications have side effects, and other times blood tests are needed to determine an appropriate dose of medication for your pet. Periodic blood work can find these issues early and allow your veterinarian to make necessary changes. Lastly, blood work is often done if your pet is sick or experiencing an emergency. Blood tests are extremely valuable in these situations because it provides a good picture of your pet's overall health. These tests can indicate what needs to be addressed immediately and also allows the veterinary staff to make quick decisions. How to understand the different types of blood tests. The complete blood count, or CBC, tests red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets to screen for anemia or low red blood cell count, inflammation, infection, stress, leukemia, bleeding problems, hydration, and immunocompromise. Complete blood chemistry panel provides information about your pet's liver, kidneys, glucose, and electrolytes. Biochemistry tests can indicate various illnesses in the following organs: in the liver, liver disease, certain cancers, dehydration, obstructed bile ducts, and abnormalities resulting from long-term use of medication. In the kidneys, early renal disease, renal failure, infection, stones, obstructed ureters, cancer, and abnormalities resulting from long-term use of medication. And the thyroid function test. As your pet ages, thyroid function can become abnormal. This test can detect if your cat or dog's thyroid is working properly by screening for hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism. Remember, blood work can detect illness in your pet before you can tell that anything is wrong. Catching disease and treating it early can lead to a better outcome and smaller medical bills in the long run. So when your veterinarian asks for blood, remember that your pet's blood can say more than a bark or a meow. Early detection makes the difference. Also from our friends at Monroe Veterinary Associates, fun facts about pets. A cat's tongue is scratchy because it is lined with papillae, tiny backwards hooks that help hold prey in place. Does your gerbil ever push your hand with its head? This means that it is irritated and wants to be left alone. A dog's nose has about 4 times as many scent cells as a cat's and 14 times more than a human's. Dogs are often used to track down illegal drugs and missing persons for this very reason. They can also sniff out their dinner from any room in the house. Hamsters are active pets who may run up to a mile a day. Walt Disney's family dog was named Lady. She was a poodle. It pays to be a lap dog. 3 dogs from first-class cabins survived the sinking of the Titanic, 2 Pomeranians and a Pekingese. 45% of dogs sleep in their owner's bed. A large percent hog the blankets. It's rumored that at the end of the Beatles' Day in the Life, Paul McCartney recorded an ultrasonic whistle audible only to dogs just for his Shetland sheepdog. Studies have shown that people who own pets live longer, have less stress, and have fewer heart attacks. Over 50% of all pet owners would rather be stranded on a desert island with their pet, not another person. Cats can see color. Studies have shown that cats can distinguish between red and green, blue or gray, between green and blue or gray, and between yellow and blue or gray. A cat's brain is more similar to a human's brain than that of a dog. I knew that. And hot products for your pet. First, the Luxie Fur Dog Sweater, a staple piece for your pup winter after winter. The classic cable knit design with decorative metal buttons and faux fur collar, of course, continues to be stylish year after year. Enjoy the soft cashmere blend and convenient leash hole for outings, available in gray, pink, and red. Because this item ships from the manufacturer, it requires a 10% restocking fee if returned. $29 at felixchien.com. That's F-E-L-I-X-C-H-I-E-N.com. Next, the dog mop. It's like a mini spa session for your pup, made of super absorbent microfiber chenille that dries wet pups like a sponge. So soft you might not want to share it with your pup. Features pockets for your hands on the reverse side to make drying your dog a breeze. The dog mop is able to soak up 7 times its weight while also drying 5 times faster than the average mat or towel. Your pet will love getting to snuggle up when it's time to dry off. $12 at barkshop.com. And the Odin puzzle toy. Light up your dog's neurons and look good doing it. Designed with both stimulation and style in mind, it's a dog toy you can keep right on your coffee table after playtime. Fill the inner chamber with treats and watch your pooch puzzles as your pooch puzzles out how to make its challenging geometry dispense tasty tidbits. The Odin is modular, allowing you to connect multiple Odins to each other, creating an even more difficult and, if filled, delicious dog toy for your pup. Finally, a toy you won't need to hide when guests come over. And it is $23 at barkshop.com. And finally, lots of life left in senior pets. Every day in shelters all across the country, senior animals are passed over by prospective pet owners. Why? Some people are looking for the energy of a new puppy or feel older dogs often offer families too little time. But the truth is, providing new home for an older animal may bring you a level of companionship you never imagined. Any shelter worker will tell you puppies and kittens get adopted first, and older shelter puppies have a higher likelihood of being euthanized, says Andrea Arden, a dog trainer who's been featured on Animal Planet and The Today Show and spokeswoman for Tractor Supply Company's Pet Appreciation Week. But if you're considering adoption, there are great reasons to choose a more mature pet. Older animals can be just as cute and lovable as their younger counterparts. In fact, they often come with many wonderful qualities that take years to develop in younger animals. There are a few benefits to consider as you're looking for a forever friend. Saving a life. It's no secret that senior pets are at a disadvantage in shelters. Not only do they have a lower likelihood of adoption, they're also more prone to depression and confusion as a result of their new environment. Consider how they got there. More often than not, a senior animal ends up in a shelter due to owner surrender. It could be an older owner's declining health or death, an unforeseen move, or a sudden change in financial situation. Still, these are wonderful, loving animals that simply had no place to go. By choosing to adopt a senior pet, you're providing a second chance at life, and with that can come a lot of fulfillment. Say so long to training. Lucky for you, the majority of senior animals have already learned the fundamentals. Everything from toilet training to various commands to leash walking. Not having to spend weeks and weeks on training can be a valuable perk of adopting a senior pet. Age is but a number. However, should you want to teach an older dog a new trick, you're in luck. Animals can be trained at any age. In fact, more mature animals may have a longer attention span, so you may actually find it easier to teach your senior pet something new. What you see is what you get. Adopting an older pet means its size and temperament are established, increasing your chance of finding the perfect companion for your household. Have a cat? No problem. Many senior dogs have already lived in a home with felines. Lots of love and less distraction. Senior pets are typically well past the search and destroy phase, minimizing the possibility of unwanted accidents and bad behavior. something for everyone. The mellow disposition of a senior animal makes them a great companion for all people, for people of all ages. Their lower energy level is often a perfect fit for the elderly, while their calm presence can be great for families with children. And wonderful years ahead. Arden urges pet parents not to let the shorter lifespan of an older pet keep you from adopting one. Depending on the breed, a dog of 7 or 8 years may have at least as many good years left ahead, and most breeds of domestic cats can easily live to be 15 or older. It's also important to note that while veterinary attention and medication are needed for animals of all ages, old age doesn't necessarily mean higher costs. You wouldn't avoid making a human friendship just because a new person in your life is mature, Arden says. When you adopt an older animal, you can still have plenty of time to enjoy their companionship. Because they're older, you'll be inspired to make every moment with them as loving and rewarding as possible. And preparing for senior pets? Good nutrition and regular veterinary checkups are important for all pets, especially seniors. Look for a specialized food to ensure your pet is receiving the vitamins and minerals needed to stay healthy. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.